Hey, everybody. As the co-host of your Chillpack Hollywood Hour, it's always delightful to shoot the transatlantic breeze with the UK Midweek Drive team. Together, we aim to provide the best possible audio backdrop for political sanity in the 21st century. This is Phil Lairness, reporting from the middle ground between science and superstition. And you have entered the podcast zone.
Well, music by John Barry, which emerged, I believe, in From Russia With Love and in You Only Live Twice and in Thunderball and, of course, in Diamonds Are Forever and, of course, in Moonraker. It's the 007 theme. But what is a situation as we approach the release, finally, of No Time to Die? Is it a case of it's become passé? Are there major issues to be had with respect to the whole issue of Bond, who, let's face it, was actually woke before wokeness actually came into play, if you actually look at the strength of the female characters featured in that, and indeed Quarrel featured in the first Dr. No movie? Or is it just a case of, as defined by Judi Dench in the first movie sequence of Pierce Brosnan, that he's always been a sexist, misogynist dinosaur, although Judi Dench portrayed M, who effectively was Bond's boss for many a year. So maybe we're actually sort of forgetting our history of Bond. Who knows? Let's find out, first of all, with our fine soul in Australia, lockdown Australia. It's almost as though there's a fiendish, diabolical Bond villain that's been playing the whole world against ourselves. Natasha Armstrong, how are you?
Hello, Alex. I'm good to see you. I think there's light at the end of the tunnel. We've been given dates. Whether or not we'll stick to those dates, I don't know, but there's hope.
Yeah, excellent. Well, as I say, the first official live open day at the University of Lincoln yesterday, where we were live meeting people, prospective students in person. Quite astounding, really. Just what we need, a five-hour drive to and from Lincoln for the campus for. But all good. Gabriella Vangenians, how are you? What's life like in your particular part of Bury St. Edmunds?
It's been okay. We have had, well, my dad tried to get some fuel, couldn't get any because there was a massive queue, then drove to Ipswich, and again, there wasn't any fuel. So it's kind of a bit madness here in Suffolk with the fuel situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you see, 18 months ago, of course, the Bogrel bandits were striking. Now, of course, it's the petrol fiends who clearly need to actually enhance their carbon footprint. And because, of course, of the lack of lorry drivers in Britain, basically, we're all doomed. But that's OK, because Bond, I'm sure, will save us. What say you, Jessica Burtis? How's life like in Ireland? And have you escaped successfully from Belfast?
Yes, I have. I'm back. I'm back in Ross Trevor around Newry, and it's very sunny today. It's so pretty. There's church bells going off. I think there's a wedding happening, so it's a very nice day.
There you are. Although technically, church bells on a Sunday, which is when we're recording this, they do tend to fit into place. That's what I can attest to. In Wales, of course, we've got Robin Pearce. Robin, are you anticipating the final Daniel Craig movie with zest and vigour? Or is it a case of, no, it's got Phoebe Waller-Bridge writing it. It's going to be dreadful. I just can't cope anymore. It's time Bond was retired.
Okay, well, first of all, I've never heard of Phoebe Waller-Bridge, so that's neither here nor there. In preparation...
Fleabag, Robin, Fleabag.
Are you calling me names? Anyway, I have actually watched the last four Daniel Craigs over the past four Saturday nights in preparation for this, because it's been a while. And whereas I would have gone to see it out of a sense of duty, because I love the Bond movies, I'm now actively looking forward to it, and I'll be taking my seat at 6:20 on Thursday.
Natasha, when we spoke back in the day in a module which eventually became Histories of Journalism, was of course the whole notion of the origins of modern Britain. I cited the interesting statement that statistically, the most successful exports Britain actually had back in the day before we'd even joined the European Union, or the Common Market as was then, were in no particular order, Matt Munro, the Beatles and James Bond. In terms of actually cost of a cultural pound or buck actually generated. James Bond, the Beatles, Matt Munro, and so on. You have already shocked a number of people by actually saying you can't really cope with the Beatles. And I think you've got one or two controversial things to say vis-a-vis Bond. So what are your thoughts on this? Are you okay? So you're looking forward to this? Or do you think that actually it's no point, you know, Eunice Gayson as Sylvia Trench and Sean Connery as the original Bond, you know, 25 movies, for goodness sake, just put it to bed.
I think my controversy is more around the sort of hoo-ha with who's going to take over Bond afterwards. Personally, I like the Daniel Craig movies. I really liked Skyfall. Spectre, I found, was a bit of a soggy balloon kind of after Skyfall, I felt. I don't know if that in itself is controversial, because I know a lot of people liked it. My controversy comes around this whole argument with should the next Bond actor be female or not? And generally my opinion is no. And the reason I don't want to see a female Bond is not because I want to stamp all over feminism, but because I feel like it's a similar argument when people argue that there should be a black Superman. My argument is that we shouldn't be trying to stuff diversity into well-known characters. We should be trying to create roles and new roles for those people. Do you know what I mean? So I don't want to see a female James Bond. I want to see a relatable, realistic woman kicking ass, you know, in her own movie role. So I suppose that's my kind of controversial take on the matter.
Like La Femme Nikita, like Atomic Blonde, like a whole variety of sort of key areas that we've worked through, like the character of Sidney Bristow in Alias, as J.J. Abrams would say. Jessica, what are your thoughts about Bond? I mean, is it a case of you find the Bond movies fantastic entertainment, escapism, etc.? I mean, John F. Kennedy, of course, kind of was responsible for really kick-starting Ian Fleming's huge popularity when he actually revealed in an interview, I believe in Playboy magazine, that actually he always had a copy of Casino Royale by his bedside at night, which he referred to. And clearly that ties into the whole image of Bond as the sort of soul, British soul, who's basically sort of bridging the transatlantic gap and building that special relationship. Any thoughts?
I do think that the James Bond movies are, they're very fun. I mean, there's a reason why they're so popular. I think, you know, everyone at least once has imagined themselves as some spy, like running around on some like elite mission, you know, it's just fun. I do think that, I mean, as a lot of people pointed out, the portrayals of women in the movies can be a little questionable. I haven't seen Spectre, but I watched Skyfall, and I think that was like the main problem I had with it was just the character of Severine, I think that was her name. One of the characters where she basically like spent a while talking about her childhood trauma, and then the next scene, James Bond was like, "I think this is you saying you're into me," and I just, you know, I don't really agree with that, but like, I think that they're very entertaining, and I mean, it's just fun. He's like the suave spy that just always wins, pretty much, you know. It's fun. It's just, it's entertaining. And I do enjoy the movies. I'll probably go see the one that's coming out. So, you know, my parents are into James Bond and everything. So, yeah, I think they're very fun.
Gabriella, your thoughts on the Ian Fleming creation, even though Ian Fleming, of course, passed away when he was just 56 years of age, basically, probably because he had too much alcohol.
Oh, no. Well, I personally haven't read the books of James Bond, but, like, I've watched all the films, and, like, I find them really entertaining. Like, I think they're just such an iconic piece of, like, Britishness, I guess. But, yeah, like, I think what Jessica was saying, like, sort of the old ones that I've sort of watched and sort of the portrayals of women are, like, a bit, like, oh, a bit questionable. But I will watch it. And to be fair, No Time to Die, like, it's, I don't know how many times it's been delayed, but I definitely want to go and see it. And seeing as it's Daniel Craig's last outing as well, I think he's been a really good James Bond. So I definitely want to go and see it.
Director, of course, of No Time to Die, accusing Bond of being a rapist in Thunderball with respect to the character of Molly Peters' incarnation of the therapist Patricia. Interesting line from that. Robin, is it a case of cultural aspects? I mean, let's face it, Bond under Timothy Dalton actually took on the Taliban in Afghanistan and arguably got an honourable draw with, of course, Mariam Darbo as the wonderful cellist.
Well, I've been listening with a great deal of interest to what the panel have said. And I got to say, Natasha, with you all the way. Absolutely, 100%. My own feeling is that the Bond films, I mean, they've been going now since 1962. The first one I ever saw, the cinema was You Only Live Twice in 1968. And they've always kind of reflected the time that they were made in. I mean, James Bond came in and it was still, especially with things like From Russia with Love, it was, you know, the Iron Curtain, it was the Cold War. And eventually we came on to take on industrialists and egomaniacal villains who wanted to take over the world, not necessarily Russian or Chinese. The
Extinction
Taliban
Rebellion in the case of Hugo Drax and Moonraker.
Yeah, before they were even invented. But that, what I was going to go on with is with, they reflect the times in that the Man with the Golden Gun, there was an energy crisis, hence the Solex device. In Moonraker, we were on the cusp of Star Wars shuttles and the sci-fi explosion, hence Bond went improbably into space. You know, they've always reflected the time, and I've always thought that Timothy Dalton should have had a better run than he did, because what we have to remember is that Bond is basically a government hitman. He has no remorse. As for the treatment of women, and this ties into a point I'm trying to make, within the fiction of the universe that Bond inhabits, a lot of the women he encounters are in the same business as him. There are very, very few actual victims. They are in the kill or be killed world. I mean, you take, for example,
Fiona Volpe in Thunderball.
Sorry?
Fiona Volpe in Thunderball.
Yes. And to, you know, it they know the game that they're into. And they, as Pierce Brosnan said, he takes his pleasure where he finds it. And, you know, so do the women. I don't think that there are victims. But there's always a sacrificial lamb in the early films. Somebody who's associated with Bond who gets killed, you know, in the first third of the film. For example,
Strawberry Martina Fields Keswick. In Quantum of Solace.
We're talking, you know, Daniel
Viganki.
No, that's not who I meant. Martina Beswick in Thunderball. But she was an agent. You know, it happens quite often. I think that Tracy Bond, after the marriage, was one of the first victims because she's killed by a stray bullet. They were aiming for him, not her, in On Her Majesty's Secret Service.
It's heartrending. When we look at it for Resonance Rewind, it will have people in tears.
It'll break a few hearts. The Japanese fake bride, was it? I can't remember the name now, in You Only Live Twice, where the actual agent has to come in because she's poisoned.
Thank you.
And of course, Plenty O'Toole in Diamonds Are Forever, who not only gets thrown out of a window just for being with Bond, she's just a good time girl at the casino. You know, I didn't know there was a pool down there. But later, she actually meets her end in a pool because she was in the wrong place at the wrong time. The one scene that I find most uncomfortable came after we had Sean Connery as basically a thug in a tuxedo, which he played very, very well. We had Roger Moore, who was still playing the saint, and it all became light comedy. So when he slapped the Maud Adams character in the Man with a Golden Gun, perhaps Sean Connery's character, as played, could have got away with that. Roger Moore never, ever could. It was so out of character for what he was playing, but the script was written for Connery. I think that they're all a product of their times. Timothy Dalton, coming in after Roger Moore, where it was all light, airy, fun, and we'll kill people with a smirk on our faces, when he played more of an Ian Fleming character, it was such a shock to the system. But it was what the character had always meant to be. My personal favourite, James Bond, I'm going to anger so many people here. I'm going to say Pierce Brosnan, because he was the perfect mix of Moore and Connery, and nobody did it better. Not his song, I know, but it's the best I can do at short notice.
Gabriella, you said you'd seen all the movies, the Bond movies. What are there any that stick in mind, or is it a case that they all blur into one? It's just the same story.
No, I actually agree with Robin. Like, I actually loved Pierce Brosnan. I thought he was great in it. And I think the introduction of M as well was just brilliant in the James Bond. Like, I think Sean Connery, like, he'll undoubtedly be sort of James Bond. Like, just that first scene, I think, in Dr. No, like, at the casino or something. And then you have, like, oh, yeah, my name's Bond.
I admire
Bond,
your
James
luck,
Bond,
mister.
Yeah. And just that theme music in the background. Like, that, to me, is just James Bond. You can't get any better than that.
Jessica, you said your parents are very much into Bond. Have the movie titles blurred, or are there any that have stuck in your mind as saying, actually, that was okay?
I mean, I don't think they like all of the movies. I think they're especially fond of the more older ones. My brother's name is actually Pierce, so that's very funny. But I
could have been Remington Steele, of course. Your brother.
bit of a mouthful. But the Skyfall movie, I thought, was actually, I really liked it. I thought it was very layered, and I think that's why I liked it. I think with some of the older films, they're a bit more straightforward. So it kind of just depends on whatever someone prefers. So I'm interested to see what this newest film is like. I think, honestly, more than some of the James Bond movies, like, some of the spoofs actually stand out to me a bit more sometimes. Like, there's been so many James Bond spoofs, like, it's just impossible to count them all, and they've been in different shows. I remember, like, some of the kids shows I would watch, they would have, like, a James Bond episode where it was kind of like a spoof of it. And there's, like, a YouTube channel where they do, like, rap battles between characters. And one of them is James Bond versus Austin Powers. And they feature, like, two versions of James Bond. So I think that is one of the best parts of the James Bond franchise, is just, like, the fan creations that it's inspired.
And if you're talking about— May I ask a question at this point? I've always held that there is a thing called my Bond rule of three. Now, whoever's in the role, the first film is hit and miss. The second, they begin to settle. They truly settle in the role in the third film. For Connery, he was never better than in Goldfinger, when everything seemed to settle and we had Bond as we know him. With Roger Moore, it was The Spy Who Loved Me. With Pierce Brosnan, it was wasn't Die Another Day.
The world
is not enough. Apparently, Robin Pierce's memory is not enough. And with Daniel Craig, it was Skyfall. Now, I think that those are the best films that those particular actors ever made. So it's always the third one for me. What do you guys think?
If only George Lazenby hadn't eaten garlic and decided that the whole franchise was coming to an end. He just had to actually had the one to go with. And Timothy Dalton, likewise, didn't quite make it to three.
I would have been so interested to see Timothy Dalton's third film. I would have loved to have seen that. But hey, we got Pierce Brosnan and we were back to one again.
Reflections on the water, more than darkness in the depths. See him surface and every shadow. On the wind, I feel his breath. Golden eye, I found his weakness. Golden eye, he'll do what I please. Golden eye. Sweetness, but a bitter kiss will bring him to his knees. You'll never know how I watched you from the shadows as a child. You'll never know how it feels to be the one who's left behind. The tears I've cried, but now my time has come, and time is not on your side. See him move through smoke and mirrors, feel his presence in the crowd. Other girls, they gather around him. If I had him, I wouldn't let him out. Golden eye, not lace or leather. Golden chain, take him to the spot. Golden eye, I'll show him forever. It'll take forever to see what I've got. You'll never know from the shadows as a child. You'll never know how it feels to get so close and be denied. It's a gold and honey trap I got for you tonight. Revenge, it's a kiss this time.
I mean, I'm going to actually just move things on slightly now because I'm going to type in, in fact, I'm posting now in terms of the chat, the official line of what I believe Richard will effectively be providing for this, because Richard is a self-styled non-fan of Bond. He's not with us today because he's in Burgundy, etc. But I predict that because of Phoebe Waller-Bridge, that because of the sort of the overall line and the sort of shift in terms of diversity, etc., I think that's the score that he's going to go for. I'm saying that literally 7 days before the actual sort of announcement is made, but that's my official line. I just think it's a done deal even before he's actually seen the movie. But there you go. I mean, what are you expecting, Jessica, from the movie? I mean, a lot of hype, a lot of sort of deliberations about the whole thing. One of the challenges about anything I find culturally And I think I was probably very much of this belief with the very first Star Wars, where it took me an awfully long time to sort of say, yeah, okay, grudgingly, it's all right. There's so much hype to the whole thing, but literally you can almost go in expecting too much, and therefore you tend to think, it's not all that much, is it really? What are your thoughts, Jessica?
I do think that that can be a bit of a problem with like going in with very big opinions or expectations. I forget the movie that there was one movie that came out recently, and my friend, who's very much into James Bond, she was very disappointed, and so now I'm worried about what she's going to think of this coming film. But I think it'll be interesting to see how the character is portrayed after, you know, Robin was saying it takes a while for him to settle in. So I think this is either going to be a very, very good James Bond movie, or maybe one that just completely goes below people's expectations with all the hype. I think it might be a bit more polarizing. I'm expecting it to be a very good story. I think there's going to be a lot of closure with it, but I think the James Bond movies, I feel like, always leaves a lot of mystery that can allow the universe to like expand and the franchise to keep going in different ways. So I'm kind of interested to see if there's any like twists or anything that are kept in, especially with the whole debate around like the female James Bond, if that will change at all with this coming movie. So I'm a good movie.
Yeah. Okay. Or indeed the notion of the code number 007 for a license to kill prefix, as we have already had the reveal that, of course, there has been a female 007 agent that's been installed as Daniel Craig's incarnation of James Bond has been on retirement and so on. Gabriella, do you think we might be expecting too much here, that after so many delays, so many issues relating to the whole factor, maybe it's just too much to expect Ben Whishaw to actually be the kind of Q that Desmond Llewellyn was for all those years, and John Cleese, of course, as well?
Well, I think there's such a big expectation around it and a lot of hype, and I just hope that it can live up to its expectation, hopefully. I'm really looking forward to it, and I think, you know, the closure with Daniel Craig, I hope that will be good, because I was glad that he was coming back to do this one, because Spectre wasn't really the closure that he deserved, to be honest. So I'm glad that he's coming back for this one, for No Time to Die, and fingers crossed that it's good.
The special executive for counterterrorism, revenge and extortion, as opposed to SMERSH, which is simply death to spies, as in SMERSH spionum. Natasha, what about yourself? I mean, is it a case of, well, if we're even allowed out, it'll be a win for me in Australia?
Oh, definitely. I would love to go outside. I'm interested to see which side of the fence it's going to sit on for me, whether it's going to be the wonderful, beautiful, perfect combination that Skyfall was for me, or whether it's going to be more of the flat flop Spectre for me. I'm hoping, because it's his last one, it's going to be more like Skyfall, and it's going to live up to the fact that this man has been doing this for 5 films now, which by any means is a really long time in the James Bond universe, I think. So yeah,
over a decade.
I know, right? Poor man's getting old. He needs a break from all those stunts. And I do agree with Robin, with your opinion, with the rule of three. I do definitely think that it takes at least kind of 2 films for them to kind of get into them. I personally can't stand Roger Moore as Bond. So I don't think he settles in at all. I know that's an unpopular opinion. I think it's a similar thing we see with maybe even the Doctor Who's. I think that especially not so much like a season, but we definitely need a couple of episodes for them to get, you know, kind of worked up into the role. I think that's because it's such an iconic role, they sort of need to find their own balance, because they take notes, and I think they look back to what people do before, but then they also want to put their own spin on it. So then we're sort of finding our own balance within that.
Charlie Higson, of course, has made quite a nice little earner by having the young James Bond series. Do you think we should actually go the Alex Rider route to storm and actually have more young James Bond material? Or is that a case of, I can see all this, the grimace from Natasha already coming out now saying, what do you want? James Bond Jr., what's going to go on with the world?
I just, it's a similar statement to what I was making with the women and the diverse characters needing their own sort of platform. I feel like if we're gonna have, you know, young agents, fine, but can we do it in a way that isn't gimmicky and piggybacking on James Bond? Can we have it as its own thing, not as, oh, young Bond, or do you know what I mean? Like, I saw the sort of Alex Pettifer film that was meant to be, and it was kind of, yeah, I don't think that was very successful. So if they were going to try going down that route, I would want to see a little bit more creativity maybe in the storyline, as opposed to the sort of the stereotypes we usually get fed.
And in terms of spoofs, as Jessica alluded to, certainly I would certainly recommend the David Niven, Woody Allen, Orson Welles, original version of Casino Royale, in terms of just shock value, if nothing else, really, in terms of that. Let's talk briefly themes, Gabriella. Are there any particular Bond movie soundtracks? I mean, Billie Eilish, of course, released No Time to Die. That is iconic from this one. We've had, of course, Chris Cornell, You Know My Name. Clearly, Shirley Bassey associated with three of the Bond movie scores. Any particular movie soundtrack from Bond which you thought, actually, I quite like that one?
Oh, that's really hard. Like, I love Adele's Skyfall. Like, that's just such an iconic one. Just, like, that opening theme, oh, gives me, like, shivers. But, I mean, Shirley Bassey's, like, oh, brilliant. Just, like, Goldfinger theme as well, I love. And Diamonds Are Forever are great. But yeah, probably, like, I'd say Adele, Skyfall. I don't know why, but I just love that one.
Okay. Jessica, music for yourself?
I have to agree with Gabriella. Like, Adele's song is just so rich and it matches it perfectly. You can listen to the song on its own and it's just immediately evocative. Like, it's so good.
Together at Skyfall.
Natasha, two votes for Adele so far. Where are you going to go?
I think in terms of personal one I like the most, probably Skyfall. I think the one that sums up my childhood, which is probably demonstrative of what my father had on the TV, is Diamonds Are Forever. That's the one that sticks to the childhood memories.
Diamonds are forever. They are all I need to please me. They can stimulate and tease me. They won't leave in the night. I've no fear that they might desert me. Diamonds are forever. Hold one up and then caress it. Touch it, stroke it and undress it. I can see every part. Nothing hides in the heart to hurt me. I don't need love. For what good will love do me? Diamonds never lie to me. For when love's gone, they last on. Diamonds are forever. Round my little finger. Unlike men, diamonds linger. Men are mere mortals who are not worth going to your grave for. I don't need love. For what good will love do me? Diamonds never lie. But when love's gone, they last on. Diamonds are forever, forever, forever. Diamonds are forever, 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 forever.
We've had a few people being controversial. I might even be more controversial because my favorite Bond theme of the whole 25 movies is Paul McCartney's Live and Let Die.
When you were young and your heart was an open book, you used to say, live and let live. If this ever-changing world in which we live in makes you give in and cry, say live and let die. Live and let die. Live and let die. We'll be right back. But if this ever-changing world in which we live in makes you give in a cry, say live and let die.
Robin.
You think that's controversial? To me, the greatest of all time, I mean, real spy music, you're talking Goldfinger. My personal favourite. Okay, I hope you're all sitting down.
View to a Kill?
No, oh my goodness, no. What a travesty. I'm going with Gladys Knight and License to Kill. That's a song that stands up by itself.
Yeah.
And Robin, we've already looked about expectations, but you haven't shared with us. I mean, as you prepare to take up your position, presumably with the rest of the family for No Time to Die, have you got that slight sense of unease that maybe the hype is going to be impossible to overcome?
Well, we always get hyped for Bond films. I mean, I've been queuing up for these movies since my early teens. And now I'm in my 60s and still doing it. Hype-wise, you know, I was watching Spectre last night. And I got to admit, I'm a little bit disappointed because unlike Jessica, I thought he had a good ending on that one. Blofeld was caught. He actually got the girl and was driving away with her in his newly refurbished Aston Martin DB5. And I thought, that's a nice ending. I hope that they don't undo that with something that's not as well-rounded. I mean, the film itself is a little bit patchy and hit and miss, but I thought Bond finally drives off into the sunset and he's left the Secret Service and he's finally got a chance at being happy. And I hope that's not completely undone and given us something that is less than that. My only hope for this is entertainment wise that I sit in a cinema, I forget I'm in a multiplex, I forget there are people around me, I want to be completely absorbed and immersed in however fantastical and far-fetched the plot might be. I don't even know what the plot is. I just want to be swept away and then 2.5 hours later to think, that was a good time.
I think Robin will be scoring this at a 9 or a 10. I've already given and typed in Richard's thoughts.
I'm going completely open up. You know, I go into every film. I mean, my journey to the multiplex, in case you guys don't know, it's 50 miles there, 50 miles back. So this is why I don't
always... camel across the Welsh mountains.
This is why I don't always take, you know, people's recommendations, because it's got to be something that I've got a reasonable expectation of liking if I'm traveling all that way. So, you know, it's got to be worth the journey. And I just want to forget that I'm at the multiplex. I want this to be an event, the kind of event that I was hoping Wonder Woman would be, but wasn't, that I didn't know what I was getting into with Malignant, but I drove home happy.
You've been listening to the Movies and Royals team. And if you wonder where the Royals, well, of course, many Royals have attended Bond premieres, including Prince Andrew, of course, but maybe we better not go there. That's a little bit of controversy just to sort of wrap up with. Richard Fitzwilliams will be back from Burgundy with his views, of course, next time. So certainly to Gabriella Vanjanians, to Jessica Burtis, to Natasha Armstrong and to Robin Pierce, huge thanks. And in those immortal words, Movies and Royals will return.
down, down to the wire. Set your hopes up way too high.